If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Today, I'm thrilled to introduce you to a brand that is a true love letter to all women and today's sponsor of our show, Holistic Goddess. This brand is a sanctuary for those seeking holistic health solutions, offering a space where women can heal, grow, learn, and naturally embrace their inner goddess. They distill decades of wellness wisdom into forms that are accessible and relevant for women, emphasizing the importance of self-love as essential self-care. They're committed to producing clean, natural products with simple ingredients to support women at all ages and stages in their unique health journeys. I personally experienced the power of their commitment when I tried the Bison Trifecta from their Naked collection. It's a potent blend of freeze-dried bison organs, heart, liver, and kidney in capsule form. And honestly, the change was almost instant. Within probably just about 3 days, my energy level soared. I was handling my hectic schedule better and skipping my usual midday crash. That's really important, you guys. This product's purity is impressive too. No vaccines, no antibiotics, no hormones, no fillers, nothing. Just packed with bioavailable nutrition that your body absorbs right away. Since I started using the Bison Trifecta consistently, I've noticed my hair and nails growing faster. And on days I forget to take my Bison Trifecta, I can immediately feel the difference. But once I take it, I'm right back to feeling this new, incredible me. It's become an essential part of my daily routine because feeling this amazing, knowing that your body is working the way it was intended to makes you never want to go back. Also, their signature collection currently offers 10 distinctive products that target a variety of women's health issues. There's sleep support gummies, joint relief, metabolism support, cognitive brain support, hair, skin, and nails gummies, and a bunch of others you should really check out. So for anyone listening who wants to experience this for themselves, use code UNDERSTOOD for 10% off Bison Trifecta. Visit holisticgoddess.com and see how it can change your routine just like it did for mine. Again, that's holisticgoddess.com. Code UNDERSTOOD, HOLISTICGODDESS.com. Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm Rachel Yucatel. So I'm really, really excited for you guys to hear today's episode. You might not know her name, but this is a name that from now on you are going to remember. Leah McKendrick, she's an American film director, screenwriter, actress, and singer. She's best known for writing and acting in the films MFA and Scrambled. If you haven't seen Scrambled yet, you're going to want to. She wrote, directed, and starred in this feature film about a broke, single 34-year-old woman that decides to freeze her eggs following a breakup. The film was based on her own experience with egg retrieval in 2021. The film premiered at South by Southwest in March of 2023 and was released by Lionsgate in 2024. She was named one of IndieWire's 28 Rising Female filmmakers to watch in 2023. So the other night before I interviewed her, I sat down, I watched the movie, and I really loved it. I mean, sometimes you have to do research on who you're interviewing and you just, you know, try to take in all the information you can. But this was not something that I felt like I needed to do at all beyond wanting. Like, it was so good. I really recommend that you guys watch the movie, even if your life does not have anything related to that topic, you're still going to find it interesting. And she's just such a good interview. I love hearing what she talks about. So we talk about what's misunderstood about egg retrieval, about people who may or may not want to have kids, but need to start making the decision now of whether or not to freeze your eggs, and if that's an important decision, and how it makes you feel. And, you know, we talk all about that. So anyways, Allison, hi, how are you today?
Hi, how are you? You know what? We also talk about what it's like to be a woman in Hollywood and how hard it is to pitch and sell women's stories, which is at the heart of it, a woman's story, but it is such a good film. I loved every second of it. It reminded me of like Bridesmaids, but for having babies. She loves to do little musical numbers, and I fully enjoyed it. And I love June Diane Raphael. She had a great cast, and my background in casting, I was like, oh my God, that person's so great. Oh my God, look who she got for this. So I loved it. Big fan.
Big fan. And you're right. The casting in this is unbelievable and interesting. You know, you would never pair some of these people in some of these roles, and everyone is fantastic. And Leah herself, even though she's representing herself and she wrote this part for herself and acts in it, she is just as good as any A-list actress. So it was my honor to have met her. And I really, really hope you guys like my conversation with Leah McKendrick. Leah, I'm so honored to meet you. I spent all yesterday like researching you, but then I watched the movie, and it was a movie that was very enjoyable to watch. And as someone who hasn't gone through that, but is someone who had a child at 37 years old, I, you know, totally understood that feeling of time running out and wanting to figure something out like in my younger years and how I was going to do that. But anyways, I am so excited to have you on because I want everyone to be watching your movie because you are so relatable, and the themes of it are so relatable. So thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, Rachel. This is awesome.
So first of all, talk to me about how, I mean, obviously I know what inspired the movie, but at what point were you sitting around being like, this is my journey and I want to make it into something that people can watch me go through?
I had always had in my head, and it's probably from being in Hollywood, that I was like, at 34, if I haven't found my person, I'm just going to freeze my eggs. I'm not going to think about it, like lean on science, believe in the ability for a modern woman's power to be able to take her fertility journey into her own hands. But I didn't know what it was. There was going to be this can of worms that I was going to open up, that I was going to sort of start to realize that I have to spend all this money because my insurance does not cover it. The Writers Guild does not cover this. And it felt like punishment. And so that feeling of being punished, and now you have to spend $14,000, and now you have to inject yourself, and now you're going to get bloated and you're going to gain weight. And like all of this just felt like, why do I have to go through this? Why do we have to go through this? And I felt like if I'm feeling so lonely and so isolated in this experience, there's no way that I'm the only one that feels this. So it was really during the process of going through it that I was like, why doesn't this film exist? Why are we not talking about this in cinema? And I think we all know the answer is because cinema is a boys' club traditionally, and we are just making these huge strides as women to direct and to produce and to get green lights from these studios, but we're just at the beginning of it in some ways. So films like this are very female driven, obviously.
Yeah. And what really stood out to me is when I see movies, documentaries, or, you know, even just little series, it's all about the woman who's like looking for the man. When are they going to have a baby? They're definitely going to have a baby. Or if they don't want to have a baby, they're portrayed like a slut, kind of, you know, yes. And they just want to like be a slut for the rest of their lives or something. Yes. And what I found interesting about this, it's the notion and the concept that you're in your early 30s and time could be running out. Doesn't mean you want to have kids. Doesn't mean you want to change your life. Doesn't mean you even have to wait for a man when you decide you want to use these eggs. But it's something where you have to empower yourself to make the decision for in the future, I want to make it a possibility. And I thought that was so different and a different concept, because you don't end the movie. I mean, here's a little spoiler alert, but a man comes in and saves you, and you would have thought someone would have shown up while you were in the process of, you know, freezing your eggs. And then you decide, you know, you decide you don't have to use them or whatever it is, but it wasn't about a man. And it was about a story about you, you know, being okay and maybe falling in love with yourself, but being okay with you being the man in your life. And for me, that resonated because on a different level, you know, I always too felt like I was running out of time, like I said, and I found someone when I was 36 and got pregnant, but that doesn't guarantee anything, because I've raised my daughter. She's 12 now, and I've raised her for 11 years on my own. And wow. I say to a lot of people, I am the man and the woman in my daughter's life. And, you know, although for me now deep into it, I know I want to have that family unit, because it's hard doing it on your own. Right. And also I miss having a companion and a partner, but not necessarily to raise a child. You know, I did it on my own and I'm proud that I did, you know? So I think that a lot of people don't talk about that, which is why I loved your movie so much. So something that stood out to me is that you are, it's not like you're a no-name person, but to the, you know, the average person watching movies, you don't have a face that is recognizable yet. So it's like,
you call me a no-name. I am. I'll own it.
But it's amazing, because you use your face on the, you know, the cover art or whatever. And then you are the lead actress, you're the director, you're everything. And, you know, what's been the reaction to that? Obviously the film is doing well, right?
It's been a journey for sure. There have definitely been moments. I mean, look, I was very rebellious in the beginning. I said, this is a non-negotiable. This is what's happening. It wasn't even just that I was like, oh, I'm this incredible actor. It was like, I know what my story is. I'm not going to slow down the process to go try and get Emma Stone, as incredible as she is. She's Emma Stone. She's got a slate and movies to make for many years to come with auteur directors that are very established. And I think everybody in Hollywood is like, how do we get Emma Stone? How do we get Elizabeth Olsen? And then years go by and you never make your movie. And I was sort of like, look, I write, I direct, I act. I know what this is. This is my story from my real life. I'm going to keep it tight and keep it moving. And we're going to make this movie. And I have it very clear in my head. And I was sort of like, putting the blinders on, like, please nobody get in the way of what I can see my North Star very clearly. And I just want to make it the way that I see it clearly in my head, and not go into development and not go into casting and not go try to attach this person or that person. And 5 years from now, I'm still trying to attach Emma Stone, you know? So, and of course I have a degree in acting. I'm an actor. So it wasn't like I was just like, no, I'll try acting. Like, you know, I'm an actor. So I thought I'll fill the cast with incredible, recognizable faces, which is what I did. And I felt really supported in that. But also I think the truth is, when you have such a vulnerable experience, it's like seared in your brain, isn't it? When you have a sort of formative, painful, excruciating, but profound experience, you don't really want to change it. You're just like, this is what it was. And all I need to do is translate it to the screen. Yeah. And I felt in some ways the easiest, clearest, strongest way was to just use myself as my muse.
Yeah. And obviously you knew the character and the emotion you were trying to portray better than anyone you would have to explain that to get that to come across. Was it hard in the pitching process, though, for people to, I guess, believe in you or see your vision?
Yeah, it was. I think it always is, isn't it? When they, yeah. Everybody would love to kind of put their stamp on it and what they think is going to make it the most commercial and the most successful. And, you know, it's a business, but I really clung tight to it. And I really was not willing. And some people did try to convince me to do it differently. Mm-hmm. And I was quite hard-headed and just said, I have written many movies that can go to Sandra Bullock, that can go to Emma Stone. This one's mine, right. You know? So right. You want me to write a movie for Emma Stone? When Emma Stone calls me, I'll write a movie for Emma Stone, right? Like, mm-hmm. Until then, I'm going to make my movies the way that I see can actually get made within them. I don't want to spend my whole life fighting to get to Emma Stone. You know what I mean?
Right. Of course. You, as you mentioned, you have a lot of big actors in there, recognizable faces. I noticed that as well. I thought that was very interesting casting too. They all did a great job. So did you know these people? Were they friends of yours or you did it actual casting?
Yeah, there were a combination between people that I'd worked with before, people that I was a fan of and just wrote love letters to and begged them to do my movie, people that I was that my casting director knew or my producers knew, and we just kind of piece by piece, each individual role, like just who's the dream? Let's go after them, let's beg them. And little by little, you kind of put a cast together. I'm an actor, so I'm not a big fan of auditioning, I'll be honest. Like right. At any turn that I can just cast an actor based off of the work that I have seen or from knowing them, I'd rather just say, you're the one, come play in the sandbox with me.
Right. So while I was watching it, I was wondering, are some of these roles based on real people that you knew, or was it just you that was the real person?
Yeah, it's heavily based on my real family. Mm-hmm. And guys that I have dated, my real best friend, you know, it's all inspired by my real life. You know, a lot of the characters are heightened versions of people that I've met, or been close to or had sex with, but generally I'm very inspired by my real life for sure. I think we all have had those experiences where we're like, this is so chaotic and cringe. This could be a movie scene.
Right, of course. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to reassess your hair needs. And if I'm going to take advice from anyone, it's going to be from someone with iconic hair. The weather is getting nicer, but that means humidity is looming. And living in Florida, it's 10 times worse. No one likes frizzy, dry, or dull hair, so I use LolaVie to combat it all. LolaVie's all-star products not only repair the look and damage, but it also shields your locks from future harm and tames frizz in the process. I love that their products are clean, plant-powered, and work for every hair type and texture. And now, for a limited time, you can receive an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code Rachel at checkout. That's R-A-C-H-E-L. So you guys know I've been using LolaVie products for a few months now, and I love what they do for my hair. I have bought extra products for all of my guest bathrooms, and my daughter uses it also. So it really keeps my hair strong and soft. I love the lightweight hair oil. It's perfect for repairing damage and smoothing out split ends. I've even gifted the glossing detangler to a bunch of friends. It's the best after shower spray to protect your hair and give it that great shine we all want. Their shampoo and conditioner are unlike anything I've ever used. I use it, and that's the only thing I use. So unlock Jennifer Aniston approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code Rachel at checkout. That's 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com, LolaVie.com with promo code Rachel. That's R-A-C-H-E-L. Please note you can only use one promo code per order and discounts cannot be combined. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Your hair will thank you. What do you think was hardest for you? It doesn't sound like the acting, but the acting, the directing, or the writing of it?
Definitely the directing. It was my directorial debut, and there's a lot of imposter syndrome. think part of it is being a woman. Part of it is wearing all the different hats of writing, directing, and starring. Part of it is having big actors on set and a lot of people on set. And you're like, I don't feel totally deserving of this. I mean, you fight for it really hard. And then when it's happening, you're like, wait, do I deserve any of this? I don't know if I'm worthy. I don't know if I didn't go to film school. I went to acting school. So that was a big source of insecurity for me.
Right.
But the truth is, you're never, if you waited until you were ready, you're waiting your whole life. You know what I mean? You kind of got to do it before you're ready. You kind of got to fight for it and say, I'm going to jump and build my wings on the way down.
Right. Well, that's a good concept for many different scenarios in life, I would think too. Okay. So let's talk about what's misunderstood about the whole process of freezing your eggs and what you go through and the physical ramifications, emotional. So can you start from the beginning a little bit as to like the point in your life you knew you wanted to do it and, you know, the process of the tangibles, what really happens?
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
I mean, I was dating, and then the pandemic hit. And like many women, I mean, I read a lot about this. A lot of women were like, I was supposed to meet my husband this year, and now I'm in hiding and I don't even think I'm going to meet anybody this year. Or like I'm swiping on the apps, but I can't actually like physically be with anybody, much less get married and have a baby and like, you know, sort of hit those milestones that I was trying to hit before 35. And I hit 34 during the pandemic. And I just thought maybe this is a great time because nobody's going to see me. If I'm losing my mind a little bit, it's a good time, right? Because I don't have to go to work or like have meetings and I can get really bloated and not really worry what I look like. Well, I didn't really think about how isolating the process is. And then on top of that, you're literally isolated during a pandemic. So it was a little bit of a double whammy. But I went in, they sort of, you do like blood tests, you do ultrasound to figure out where you are in your, you know, how, what you're working with, if you will, how your follicles are looking, how your levels are looking to be able to get pregnant. And so they sort of give you a diagnosis. Is now a good time? My doctor luckily was sort of like, you've got a little bit of time. You're not in like the danger zone, but I was sort of like, I just want to do it right now. I want to do it. I have made my mind up. I've been mentally preparing myself. So we went into the process, which this isn't in the movie, but I actually had to go on 2 weeks of birth control to synchronize my follicles And I think I even had like estrogen pills. I had like some heavy lifting to do before I actually started the process of injections. So I was like quite hormonal, even by the starting point of injections. And then I did like the most days of injections. I think I did like a full 14 days of injections. And I think around halfway through that process, you start to get the hang of the needles and you mix your own meds. At first, it feels like rocket science. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, no, I got this. I figured this out. The needle is very tiny and very sharp. It goes in quite easily. I would just put frozen peas on my belly to kind of freeze it up a little bit. But about halfway through the injections, I feel like the hormones started to really, they were like little demons speaking in my ear, like telling me that I hadn't made anything of myself, that I was unlovable, that, you know, I'd blown it by being in so many failed relationships, that I maybe was never going to find anybody and was going to die alone. Like all of those terrible thoughts start to creep in. And then you have the surgery, you take the trigger shot, you have the surgery, and it's 15 minutes long, but you're under for it. And I remember, this also was not in the film, but I remember hearing my voice, hearing my name. And then I kind of sat up like bawling, crying, just crying and crying and crying. And my doctor goes, are you in pain? Are you in pain? Are you in pain? I was like, no, I don't know what's happening. And he was like, it's fine. It's the hormones. But I really believe that I saw, I almost can remember it somewhere in my brain that I saw something really profound in my drug-fueled sleep. And so that's why in the film you see a potential vision of what she saw, which was fully me imagining what I could have seen, because I don't remember what I saw, but it was very emotional. I almost wonder if I saw my Tia, my aunt who passed away that I love a lot. And then I just felt such overwhelming empowerment and pride in myself and what I was able to accomplish through this very adult process that nobody is holding your hand. They are truly not holding your hand. You are on your own. You are figuring it out on your own. And that these little cells in the freezer, these little eggs in the freezer are mine and mine alone. And that I made them and that they belong to me. And I went through a quite grueling process to get them. I became very proud of myself. And I smile every day that I think of them in the freezer at the beach. I smile and I go, I'm like, so it's one of my greatest achievements. And that's why I really encourage women. If there's any thought of maybe I would like to preserve that, go get tested, go have that consultation. I can't speak to what your process is going to be like. Mine was tough, but the aftermath has been colorful and beautiful and profound.
What did you learn when you were doing this, when you were first meeting with the doctors? Were they telling you that there is a time that you need to save, preserve your eggs by? Otherwise, it's sort of too late to do that?
They made it really, really clear. Dr. Wong at Reproductive Partners in Beverly Hills made it so clear that the drop off at 35 is like fake news, that every body is completely different, that some women, their eggs start dwindling in their 20s and some women can get pregnant in their 40s, as we all know, right? Woman's body is different.
And when you say that drop off, I've always been confused about this. Does it mean the amount of eggs that are available, or it means the potency or whatever the word was?
Yes, the viability. So we are born with all the eggs that we will have our entire life.
Okay.
You know, normally you got one egg a month, right? One egg. And then if you don't use it, it comes out in your period, right? If you use it, that's why you don't get your period, because it's been fertilized and now you're cooking a baby. Mm-hmm. But you can have a ton of eggs still. And if you are older, they're no longer viable. So they're not going to actually make a baby.
Got it.
So it's not really about the number. It's how viable they still are. And so that is why the doctors go in and test your levels to be able to figure out, you know, if you could have a healthy pregnancy. Because keep in mind, so think about IVF, right? They take the egg, they fertilize it. Suddenly, so what I have in the freezer is just mystery eggs. And they explain all of this to you. Mystery eggs. We don't know which are healthy. We don't know which could produce a baby. I've just got them in the freezer. But once I take sperm and I fertilize them, I can see which are boys, which are girls, which are healthy, which are viable. And the number drops. All the eggs in my freezer are not going to be able to make a baby. So you think, oh, you only need one. You only want one kid. You only need one egg, or you only need five eggs. No, you know, you can have a lot of eggs, and it really only depends. So when you're young, most of your eggs are viable.
Right.
The older you get, the fewer the eggs that are viable. So
they take out a huge amount, and then, but it's a mystery, like you said, about which ones are healthy and not. So what are the injections doing? I thought that the injections were making the eggs grow, but it doesn't sound like that's the case.
So they're making your follicles grow.
Okay.
Which is interesting. This is like, now this is above my pay grade a little bit, but each follicle can make one egg.
Okay.
So you want a lot of follicles. And so one of the things that I had, luckily on my side, was that I had a lot of follicles. But the problem is you need to synchronize them so that they are all starting. It's a race, right? But you want them to all grow at the same rate. Otherwise, you're basically fooling them. Usually only one follicle makes one egg per month. You're basically telling each of them, it's your month, make an egg. So you're fooling them into thinking it's their month, so that each follicle will make an egg and it will grow at the same rate, so that you can drop them at the same rate and they will all be as big as they can be. And so, like, for example, I had three eggs that died overnight. So you get them taken out, and they can actually like grow in the petri dish, but they cannot freeze them if they are not full sized. So they kind of wait for them to see which ones are big enough that we can actually freeze, because you cannot freeze pre-mays, you know, if they're not fully formed. So it's this very advanced process. That's why they're monitoring you every single day, every other day, because they're seeing, okay, these eggs are tiny over here. These are large over here. We're going to give you more of this drug so that we can get these to grow at the same rate over here. I mean, it is like a touch and go, very advanced process, but it's basically telling your body to do something very unnatural, which is that normally you have one egg per month and now you're going to grow as many as possible. So it's like, have some grace for women that are going through this. They might be doing what they normally do times 10. And if you're already somebody that has a difficult period that gets cramps or gets mood swings, like, this is like on overdrive because your body is working its ass off.
So you have to do it in the 14 days, obviously, in between your period, and they have to time that. Right.
Yes. You come in on your period. It's very traumatic because they put the thing in you and then it pulls out and has blood on it. It's so fucked up. Okay, I was so traumatized by that process. It was like this male doctor is like seeing my period blood. And then I was like, he's literally a doctor. This is literally what he does all day long. But yes, it's timed by your period.
Yeah. And then there's a scene in there where you meet up with a guy and you end up having sex and you get nervous about it. So I didn't really understand that, 'cause I don't know. So you obviously can't have sex when you're doing this, because what I'm assuming, you can get pregnant very quickly. And also it would ruin the egg scenario.
'Cause you're growing a million. So like in a horror film that I could make, you've got 10 eggs in you that could get, in a sense, fertilized.
Right.
They've got a bazillion sperm swimming up there, right? If you're not using protection, in a sense, you're like Octomom.
Right, right.
And you're very, very fertile, right? Because you've been injecting hormones and taking pills to make yourself as fertile as possible.
Right. So, all right. What was the learning process from all this? So you decided when you were single that this was something you wanted to do. Does this affect whether or not you decided you want to have a baby later?
That's such a good question. I think the big effect that it had on me was that I didn't feel that I needed to settle for a guy that I did not want to be with. Mm-hmm. I think when you feel that you are running out of time, and I'm sure, Rachel, you can relate to this, having yours is like the extra level because you've had an actual child. But like, there is this sense of like, well, the time ran out and I need a partner for this specific thing. In my case, it was to get married and have a baby. For you, I'm sure it was to be a partner in raising a child. It's like, well, this will have to do. Mm-hmm. I can work with this. I can make this work. But I feel like having my eggs in the freezer and learning so much more about my body, and that I did have time, and that we do have time, and that all this messaging of you're running out of time is like such bullshit. It made me go, you know, it actually helped me end a relationship that I was in later, where I went, I don't need to settle for spend the rest of my life with somebody mm-hmm. that doesn't make me feel affirmed, that right. doesn't make me feel seen or loved or contained. Like, I've got eggs in a freezer. Right. I can pull them out if I need to, if I'm not able to have a kid, or if I don't even know for sure that that's my future, but I go, I know that I'm not going to sign up for a relationship that makes me feel trapped.
Hmm. Okay. So a couple other questions that I know you're not a doctor, but I'm sure you've heard all of this. So I'm going to ask you. So I think a lot of people are fearful, maybe, that yeah. having a baby or from an egg that's been frozen would be different than having it come from you naturally. Does it alter the egg? Does it make the human that's formed any different than if you took it from your own body naturally? Do you follow that question?
Let me tell you something, ladies. The beauty of using your frozen eggs is that you can see which are healthy, and you can implant yourself with a healthy egg. You don't always have that ability.
That's such a good point. I didn't think of that.
So you can also choose a boy or a girl. So let's just say you've already had a son and now you'd like a daughter. You can pull those eggs out. You can choose a girl, and you can implant, and you will fertilize it with sperm, whether from a donor, a friend, or your partner. And you can say, I want the strongest egg, because they can do all that genetic testing. They can do all that ahead of time. So sometimes people are doing this to be able to choose the gender of their child when they've already had a million boys and they're like, I need a daughter. They're willing to go through this process to be able to ensure that they have a girl, but also to, you know, when you've had several miscarriages and you're having a hard time conceiving naturally or taking a pregnancy to birth, a lot of times science can help you out with this stuff, you know? And I think a lot of the times women can feel a lot of fear about what the baby will be like if we use it, if it's a test tube baby, all of this, right? I think a lot of that comes from religion. A lot of that comes from societal implications that you're less of a woman if you needed the help, or you are damaged in some way if you needed the help. And I wish we could do away with all of that. I mean, if you feel that we're trying to play God, I understand religion can play a really huge role in the way that you view all this, but God created science too. God created humans that figured some science out. And I was raised Catholic. I'm quite spiritual. And I'll tell you one thing. I feel closer to God since going through this process and seeing what I'm capable of.
Has it made you think more about if you're going to spend the next couple of years looking for a man to be the partner for your egg, or that doesn't come in your head anymore? I think a lot of people, again, are wrapped up in this. You need a man to have a family, or a woman, whatever your choice is, right? But you need a partner to do this with you. Do you think that this changed your opinion or gave you thoughts about, in your future, if you choose to have a child, will you be okay doing it alone? Or do you feel like you really want to only do it if you have a partner?
My story has changed a bit because I met my person. It has changed me in a big way. We've been together a year.
Oh my God. I'm so excited for you.
I met him on Hinge. So I like to tell people, even though I hate that, I like to tell people because it gives women hope, or gives people hope a lot of the time that you can meet like the one. Yeah. And we talk about kids. And
does he have any children?
No.
Okay.
But like, we both, honestly, I have felt more open to motherhood since meeting him.
Right.
More than the process of freezing my eggs. Because I'll be very honest, just like my film, the process of freezing my eggs felt like it was about me.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't feel that it was about children. It felt that it was about me and my empowerment to take control of my future, the timing of my life, to not feel ashamed and to not feel forced into situations that a lot of women are, because they feel that they're running out of time, right? And those little eggs in the freezer, they feel like pieces of me. They don't feel like fully formed humans, which is why I'm very against what's happening politically in certain southern states saying that embryos are fully formed humans, because they're not. They're pieces of us until they become babies. But I feel like for the first time, the thought in my, the conception of the idea of motherhood and children kind of was born out of my relationship with my partner. So will we take those eggs out of the freezer? Hell yeah. If we need to, fuck yeah. Yes, absolutely. I would love to be able to see, you know, I think we might, when it's time, try, see how it goes, and figure it out day by day. But I have zero qualms about using those eggs in the freezer.
Right. Okay. So, and then now that you've done this, just to clarify for people listening, now that you have the eggs in the freezer and you just pointed out that you could pick the gender, you could pick the healthy ones, would you, even though you probably still are fertile and could do it on your own, maybe, maybe not, but do you think you would rather pick one of those eggs as opposed to having it happen to you naturally?
I mean, I'll tell you one thing, Rachel, it's expensive. I've done part of the process, but it costs money to then pull them out of the freezer, fertilize them, do IVF. Basically, I've done half of the process of IVF, right?
Got it. I forgot that there's a cost to it.
I mean, look, if I got insurance that can cover it, maybe I'll do that, you know, sooner than later. But no, I mean, it's an expensive thing, and I would rather not have to pay an additional whatever, 20 grand, whatever it ends up being. That's why so many people talk about how IVF is like, just, it's for like, it's like a rich people science.
Yeah.
But what's amazing is so many, especially in Hollywood, so many studios, a lot of the tech industry covers this stuff, which is so epic to me. Any business or, you know, employer that covers egg freezing, I like applaud them, because so many people consider it elective, unnecessary, right? I go, this is our lives. This is our futures. This is our ability to thrive in the world. You need to give this to people. You need to be able, men's erectile dysfunction surgeries are covered. All kind of dick surgeries are covered. They're always covered, right? Women, and I think what it is that this feels like a newer science to a lot of people. And we have all of these politics surrounding it. So it feels like, let's just not even get involved. But actually, if you want us to thrive and work for you and do our best work over many, many, many years, give us some insurance policy about our children. Give us a chance to be able to think about that later and not immediately have to figure it out today and get pregnant with some person that we're not even sure of.
Right, right. As you were talking, listen, I don't want to have any other kids, and I'm 49, so I'm not having any on my own for sure. But I wondered if people that are listening didn't think of this when they were younger, haven't met the right partner or whatever, for whatever reason, they're thinking, this is interesting to me. I would want to see if my eggs are still viable. And you're saying that that cutoff, that cliff maybe doesn't really exist at 35. It's probably very individual for everyone. I'm curious if I went in to the doctor and checked my viability, if I would even have one that I could put aside. If I meet someone in 5 years and my daughter is like, why don't you, you know, when my daughter goes away to college, I think there's a lot of people that don't know what to do with their lives because they've been a mom, right? So that's a whole nother thing, that they may not care about having a child later in life as long as it belongs to, you know, it's from them. So it doesn't sound like it's too late really for anyone if they've missed the boat up until now about hearing about all this.
Knowledge is power, right? Mm-hmm. I think so many women do not go to get checked out and have that consultation because I think they're afraid to hear you have no more follicles and no more eggs and that's the end of it, right? That's their fear. Mm-hmm. They don't go and they start thinking the worst. And that's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
You've got it. Knowledge is power. How wonderful is it to hear, we've got something to work with. Let's start taking these pills. They're going to help grow. Because there's way, this, you're not alone in this. There's science. There's pills. There's injections. All kind of things that can help you. I mean, look at Look at Kourtney Kardashian. She's pregnant in her mid-40s. She was doing all kinds of stuff, helping her diet. You know, there's ways that if this is what you want to do, and of course, there's surrogates, there's donor eggs. There's, I mean, I had a friend who was pregnant in her body, in her own body, with the baby, and it's now her son, was made from her husband's sperm and a donor egg, and they implanted her. So her eggs were not working out, right? But her body was. So there's right. So many ways that this can be figured out through science. And I think every woman individually should figure out what works for her, what speaks to her, what she wants. But I think the most important thing you can do is just arm yourself with the knowledge of your own body.
Hmm. This is a really ignorant question maybe, but if you have a donor egg and your husband's sperm, will the baby have traits from the donor? So you have to pick traits that you want, even though it's growing, even if it's growing in your stomach, that has nothing to do with you. Okay.
Yes. You're essentially,
a vessel.
A mother. I mean, you're giving birth to the baby, like you're carrying the baby, you're baking the baby, but it's genetically that woman's like, genetics, you know, it's her egg.
So interesting. Mm-hmm. Anyway, all right. Well, all this is fascinating. Everybody should watch the movie Scrambled. It is on Amazon. Is that where people can get
Apple, it? Yep. Wherever you buy movies, you can find it.
Amazing. Okay. So what are you, some questions about you now, like in general, what are you excited about right now?
Oh my gosh, I'm feeling really good. I just got back from Maui for my 1 year anniversary, and this is my first moment back to work, but I'm happy to, you know, honestly, I felt very excited when you just were talking about raising your daughter, daughter or son?
Daughter,
raising your daughter and doing it on your own, because that's something I'm really interested in exploring. Just this, because in your early 30s, you're kind of taught, just find the one and have a baby and have a family. And the reality
caveat, find the one and then your life will change or your life will get better. Like,
and then it's going to change. It's like a whole new era and you've done it and it's happily ever after.
Right. And
it's rarely that.
Yeah.
But why do we keep shoveling that concept, even though we have data and proof that it's rarely that, from all around, historically, everything? So I'm really interested in this idea of managing to do all the things that I have still not done, right? Find the person, have the baby, have the house, have the dog, you know, and then realize maybe this isn't me, or this isn't what I wanted, or this isn't all it's cracked up to be. And then having to choose, and I don't know your story, Rachel, exactly, but having to choose something that affirms you and feels in alignment with you and giving up all of that, right? And that's that next level after finding, you know, Scrambled is all about, I didn't find any of the things I was supposed to find. I haven't found anything. What do I do? The panic. But when you do that next level, what next? And I want to really delve into that. So I'm developing a TV show. It's called The Panic Years. That's what we're calling it right now. And just about that next level, marriage, divorce, life after divorce, being a single mom, like all of the realities of womanhood beyond just finding the man.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's so true. I think it's very relatable that, you know, I remember in my 20s, I worked at Bloomberg News and I would tell the girls and the guys in our cubicles all about our dates because we were like, is he the one? And then you're going to get whisked off. And we see these, you know, fairy tales when we're younger, and our kids, my daughter still sees this and loves Frozen and loves, you know, all these things. But she's grown up in a single parent household. So I think she also knows that I'm the strong one. I'm not necessarily the mom feminine with no job cooking. It's like, I'm the hustler, like telling her what to do, teaching her things, also praising her, being tough. And she gets to see it. And I love that. But I do think what you're saying is so interesting, because I think it's like a stigma that it's like, well, your marriage didn't work. And it's about second chances. And it is about second chances, figuring it out later. But what if we did it backwards. So it doesn't seem wrong. Like kind of like what you're doing when you decide whether or not your boyfriend and you decide to get married or have the dog or the house or the kid together. What if you say, I'm feeling right now, like it's time, like I want a kid so bad, I'm going to do it. And then if he chooses to join you on that process and say, wait, I want to be a part of it. Don't do it without me. That's so much more empowering, because the way it happened to me is it, you know, it was, I was recruited to be on The Amazing Race, and they gave me all the shots for our trip, 9 shots and a pregnancy test. And they were like, good news and bad news. Bad news is you can't do the show. Good news, I think, is that you're pregnant. And I was like,
what?
You know, and he was 10 years younger than me. And I just remember thinking, how am I going to tell this young kid that he's having a baby? And I'll be honest with you, I had 2 dogs that I loved, and I didn't really know that I wanted kids. I didn't like other people's kids. They screamed, they threw up everywhere, they were annoying. And so that was not like on my bucket list, but I chose to have the baby. And I thought, I'll tell you really quickly that it was interesting, because the day I found out was September 11th, and my fiance had been killed on September 11th, 10 years before. And so I called my best friend, Allison, and I said, I've taken 10 pregnancy tests and they're all positive and I don't know what to do. And I was crying, like I was upset. And she was like, Rachel, it's September 11th. It's a sign. You have to have this child, because no longer can you think of this as like a terrible day. This is the day you're always going to remember. You have to have the baby. So to me, that's why I chose to have her. Cause I don't know what I would have chosen if I hadn't had that guidance.
Yeah.
And sometimes things happen, as you probably know, where it's just an accident, and whatever the situation is, you have to go with it, and your life veers because of it. And having a child was the best thing that ever happened to me, you know, but made my life go down a totally different path. So it's like sliding doors. In your case, you can decide. And I think that's very empowering that you make the decisions and then people can go along, because I also thought, I will never want to do this on my own. And so I was like, okay, well, I'll do it because he's now with me. And we went and got married, but that didn't work. It just wasn't right. And I've been asked before later, like, would you have another kid? I would only have a child, not because I want a child again necessarily, but because I'm so in love with that man that I'm like, I want a piece of that. And that would be like my second chance at doing it with someone and seeing how that's different than raising a child on your own and always being kept up a little bit later at night worrying, like, can I pay for all this? Can I do all this? Am I making the right decisions? And so anyways, I think what you did is so empowering and enlightening. And a show like what you're talking about seems very interesting, because I think it'll cover all those options.
I mean, I'm like, my mind is blown about all of this. The Amazing Race, like, talk about sliding doors. Like, what could have, I mean, that is epic. And you're suggesting about, like, if you decide that you want a kid or you become pregnant and you're like, do I want to have this kid? I'm going to do this. This is the route I'm choosing. Mm-hmm. And you are welcome to join me.
Right.
Otherwise, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to go at it solo. Is a really radical, progressive suggestion. And yet also the most basic, obvious one, because we carry the children. Mm-hmm. So it is our choice, right? What we want to do. And as we know, even if they marry you and even if you decide to be together forever, that's not necessarily how it always goes or how it should go. You know, nobody should feel forced. My parents are still together after, gosh, I think 40 something years, but they had a very, very difficult marriage. Mm. Very, very hard. Very tough to witness, a lot of chaos in the household, a lot of tension. And I'm proud of them. They're both good people. They did their best. They, you know, they have 3 grown kids. And so now we're all doing our thing and they have chilled out and they are like, my mom spends half the year in her country in Nicaragua and she's got her own farm and chickens and they have figured it out.
Right.
But they're very honest. My mom specifically that like, she wouldn't have done it over that way. You know, she didn't want us to have to see that. I don't want my children to have to go through a life where they're always walking on eggshells because who knows how our parents are getting along today. Mm-hmm. Who knows, are our parents in love today or do they hate each other today? You know, there was always that. And so I think for me, there's a lot of fear of marrying the wrong person or forcing myself to spend life with somebody and creating a really volatile environment for my child.
Right, right. Well, it's such a lesson and just take life into your own hands and your own happiness, because we've been taught as women that our happiness is dependent on someone else loving us. And that's just the wrong lesson. And it's so hard to ingrain that, like watching my daughter grow up and how peer pressure has such a big part of it. And, but you know, that is, I think, the lesson, that you have to really be happy with your choices. And then it doesn't matter who comes in and out of your life, because you will, your mood and your stability will always be that foundation. So
yeah, totally.
All right. Where else can people find you right now? If they're interested in following you and seeing your other upcoming projects, don't you have something, didn't you just get Jennifer Gardner signed up? Tell me about that. Really
yeah,
quick.
We're doing a Mrs. Claus movie at Netflix.
Amazing.
Like the dream, which, you know, Mrs. Claus needs her moment, right? Mrs. Claus, she's really the brains behind the operation in a lot of
right.
ways.
That bad bitch. We never knew anything about her. So
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I love it. And are you directing it? You wrote it? What?
I'm not directing this one. I wrote it and I'm excited to see what, you know, the next iteration, but they're going to bring in somebody incredible who thrives in this family space. And I can't wait. Cannot wait.
Awesome. I can't wait either. Okay. So, and where can people reach out to you if they want to?
Yeah.
Or look
on Instagram. I'm on Insta. Hit me up on Insta, Leah McKendrick.
Perfect. All right, everybody. You can watch Scrambled on Amazon and Apple, you said. Please do. It's so good. Even if you're not having this kind of a egg freezing or IVF or baby on your head journey, it's such a good movie. You guys are so cute and sweet. And there's such relatable cringe moments and guys you've dated. And I just thought it was fantastic. I think you're fantastic. I wish you the best. I can't wait to hear what happens in your life.
Thank you so much for having me, Rachel. You're such an icon. And I love your story about your daughter. It's really epic.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.